You in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for this morning is our gospel lesson recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter beginning at the 20th verse. I invite you to please rise for the life of our Lord. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew. Andrew came with Philip and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven. "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it thundered. Others said, "An angel talked to him." Jesus answered, "This voice was not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, glory through death, or glory coming through death. I think there's a lot of people that might disagree with that. Death doesn't seem too glorious. Instead, death seems like defeat for a lot of people, right? Think about what happens as someone grows older, their body grows weak and tired, and death overtakes them eventually. Or think about an individual who's struggling against cancer for many years, but eventually, again, the cancer wins out and they die. It seems that in death, the grave wins and we lose. Where's the glory in that? But even in our world for us today, we can think about examples of glory through death. Maybe we can think about a group of soldiers gathered together as they're on the battlefield, and all of a sudden an enemy grenade gets lobbed in their midst. And one of them thinks quickly, and he jumps on top of the grenade and holds it to his chest. And even though he loses his life, he spares the life of his fellow soldiers. There's something glorious, something honorable about heroic death. Somebody giving their own life for the sake of others that they might live. In God's word for us today, we see glory through death. Glory through death for Jesus, but for us as well. At the beginning of our lesson, we hear about these Greeks that come to see Jesus at the festival, and this event is taking place on Tuesday of Holy Week, so just days before Jesus heads to the cross. And we don't know why they came, if maybe they'd heard about Jesus' miracles and they want to see another, or if they were actually seeking him as their Messiah too. It seems, though, that there might be some hesitancy, though, for them to come directly. Did they wonder, was Jesus really for them? After all, they knew that he was king of the Jews, but was he their savior too? And so they go to Philip and ask and request if they can see Jesus. Seems like Philip, too, isn't quite sure either, and so he goes to Andrew, and finally they go to Jesus. Jesus' response seems a little bit strange. "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And later on he says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus talks about his glory as not something he has through a great and wondrous miracle, even though one would happen, as it did in our lesson for today, with a voice from heaven. But he especially talks about his glory in his death. And what's going to come as a result? He's going to draw all people, not just Jews, but even Gentiles, to himself and to bring glory to him and to his heavenly Father. But again, how so? In verse 31 of our lesson for today, Jesus remarks, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out." How does that take place? In death. We think about Jesus' enemies, the religious leaders who sought so fervently to destroy him and to get him up on that cross. We think about Satan himself who entered into Judas to betray Jesus. Certainly Satan was cheering as Jesus was nailed to the cross and as he saw him give his last breath there and as his lifeless body hung from that tree. Certainly Satan was rejoicing over that. So where is victory? Where is glory in that? Well, Jesus knew something that Satan didn't, or at least something that Satan overlooked. Have you ever wondered what the devil's play is? Why the devil tempts people? It's not simply because misery loves company and the devil wants people to suffer with him in hell, but it's really more than that. The devil hates God, and he wants to do anything he can to harm God, and yet God is so much greater than the devil. God is the one who made him, after all. So the devil cannot attack God directly, and so the devil takes another tactic. Instead of attacking him directly, he attacks what God wants. And God has made known clearly to us and even to the devil, God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why the devil attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted to take them away from God, tempt them, lead them astray, lead them into sin so they would have to be with him forever in hell. That's why he tempts us today as well too, so that we won't be with God in heaven. And why is that? Well, the devil's a good lawyer. The devil knows God's rules. He knows God is perfect and holy, and he knows God cannot be in the presence of sinners, or sinners cannot be in the presence of God. He knows also, according to God's justice, all sin must be punished, just as his sin needed to be punished with hell. And so he says, God, as much as you love these people, you can't have them because they have sinned. They've sinned against you, God, so they deserve punishment. They're mine. But Jesus says in our text that by his death he will draw all people to himself. And he uses that illustration of himself as the seed that falls to the ground and dies, but it produces much grain. It gives life to many. As I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, there are examples in our world of glory or honor that comes in death, especially in heroic death. We think of the example with the soldiers in the grenade, but maybe we could think of more. Maybe like someone jumping in front of a bullet to spare someone else's life. Or maybe we could think of a group of people in a remote location who are running out of food, and an adult says that they're not going to eat so the children can eat and so they can survive. Yes, all of those are wonderful examples of self-sacrifice and love, giving one's life for the sake of someone else, but what good does it do if it only leaves the victim exposed once again? What good does it do for someone to jump in front of a bullet if with the next bullet the victim is killed? What good does it do for someone to give their food to a child who's starving if the child's just going to starve a few days later in death? It's certainly a nice gesture for someone to do such things, but it really doesn't help in the big scheme of things. So too, it's good for us to understand what Christ does at the cross. When he dies at the cross, he doesn't just go there to show you that he loves you and that he's willing to self-sacrifice for you. He does so in order to free you forever from the power that the devil holds over your head, the power that he holds because of your sin and the judgment that it deserves. We think about the way things work in our own world today. If you get caught speeding and get a ticket, you have to pay a fine, right? Or maybe if you get arrested for a DUI or arrested for assault or arrested for stealing something of significant value, you'll have to pay a fine. Or maybe you'll have to even do some jail time as a result. What happens if the fine is paid? What happens if the jail time is served? As much as maybe the jailer doesn't want to let you go, as much of a scumbag as he thinks you still are, if you've served your time, he has to release you. So too, it comes to reality when it comes to God's judgment. The same thing is true for us, that if that punishment is paid, we are free to go, judiciously free to go, because there is nothing that we can be held for any longer. That's why Jesus goes to the cross. He doesn't just go there to show you that he loves you this much, but he goes there in order to take away the threat of death and hell forever, to free you from it. Because he goes to suffer the punishment that you deserve, to suffer your hell there at the cross, so that the devil has nothing to hang over your head anymore. It seems so ridiculous, though, doesn't it? To think that someone dying on a cross could do anything. When the world looks at Jesus hanging on the cross, he seems so pitiful and so weak, so defeated. And yet God has brought us to understand the foolishness of the cross, and to understand that through his death, it means freedom and life for us forever. But in the midst of all of this, Jesus remarks, "Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life." We think about Jesus himself, how he submits to the will of his heavenly Father. He does so, even though it's going to mean suffering and a cross, but he does so because he knows that it's going to mean life for us and life for all who believe in him, whether Jew or Gentile. And so he willingly follows the will of his heavenly Father. He's obedient even unto death for us. And he invites us as well to do something similar, not to live for ourselves in this world, but to live for him, to live according to his will, his commands, even though it's going to mean hardship and suffering, but to know that through faith in him, we ultimately have life, and so we want to live for him. During this Lenten season, in our midweek Lenten services, we've been focusing on baptism, and specifically on that theme, baptized into his death. And the key verses that we look to where we see that theme present is in Romans chapter 6, where it says this: "We died to sin. How can we go on living any longer? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life." It talks about us too dying. As we are baptized into Christ, we died to sin. We died to that old way of life. We are connected to Christ in his death, but also in his resurrection. That gives us new life to also walk in a new life, to live according to his will. And so he warns us against living the old way, living for ourselves, but instead living for him. Now, it's good for us to be good stewards of the wealth and the possessions that God gives to us in this life. He wants us to use those wisely. It's good for us to find pleasure in the little things in this world, the good and pleasing things to God as he has provided them for us. It's good for us to take care of our bodies as well and to not misuse them. But if we focus everything on those things, if we make getting the most amount of money and the most amount of wealth in this world our number one goal, if we make the pursuit of pleasure our number one goal in this life, we make our health the number one thing for us in this life, we'll end up losing everything. Because those things are dead ends. Yes, maybe it allows us to feel secure for a time with that money stored away in the bank. Maybe it allows us to have some fun for a time. Maybe it allows us to even extend our life for a few extra years because we're so healthy. But in the end, it all leads to death, doesn't it? That everyone in this world dies. And what then? Jesus wants us to focus not just on the things that we can have in this life, but to focus on the fact and the reality of death, that it comes for us all, and to know that through Him there is life after death. And so instead of placing our trust and our focus on all of those things, to not live for them and live for ourselves, but to live for Him, the one who through His death gives eternal life. And He goes on, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." He wants us to follow Him, and that doesn't simply mean following His will, following His commands, but also following where He goes. And where does He say that He goes in our lesson for today? There was a Sunday school teacher who once asked her students what she thought to be an easy question. She asked them, "How do you get to heaven?" And there was a little boy who rarely answered questions, but that day he had his hand up like this, "Teacher, teacher, I know." She calls on him, "Yes, Jimmy, you got to die." Yes, Jimmy, you have to die, right? It is true, right? You have to die unless we're here when Christ returns. You have to die in order to get to heaven, don't you? But God doesn't want us to be obsessed with death or to wish for death early. Rather, He wants us to serve Him with our lives right now, even though it maybe at times means hardship and suffering and pain, to live for Him. But also not to be afraid of death. For us as Christians, we need not fear death because we know what happens next. We know that death is merely a portal to life. Life that is ours through Christ. As St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as St. John also records in Revelation, write, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, because they will rest from their labors, for their works follow them." As we know that as believers, those that trust in Christ and His death and resurrection, we will have life even though we die, because God has promised it through His Son, and He will bring us to the glories of heaven. But He also tells us that the Father will honor us there as well. As it says in our lesson for today, the Father will honor Him. God will not forget the things that have been done in His name here in this life, in this world. We will be honored for all of those things done out of gratitude for all He has done for us. Those good works don't merit heaven, don't get me wrong. The only reason we have the hope of heaven is because of Christ's death and resurrection for us. We also will be honored, we who serve Him now, as we will be glorified one day forever in heaven. The Greeks came to Philip saying, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." It seems there might have been some hesitancy. Are they really included? Did Jesus really come for them? Let there be no mistake that Jesus has come for them and for all. But to understand especially the way in which He brings glory to them and to us, it's through His death on the cross, through making satisfaction for your sins, through suffering your punishment, and then rising to life from the dead on the third day, we can be confident that our sins have been forgiven, that through faith in Him we have nothing to fear, that the devil's grasp has been loosened, that we have life forever in His name. Let us also die with Jesus. His death from the second death, from our soul's destruction frees us, quickens us with life's glad breath. Let us mortify while living, flesh and blood, and die to sin. And the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. Jesus, here I die to Thee, there to live eternally. Amen.